There was enough of you here to sing tonight. That was a blessing. Very good. Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to speak out of this chapter for a few moments tonight. Verses 14, 15, and 16. Basically concentrating in verse number 16 this evening for the lesson. Hebrews chapter 4. And some familiar verses, familiar passage. Verse number 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now here's our text verse tonight. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I talked Sunday morning on the subject about going into His presence. That diabolic duo, prayerlessness and sinfulness. They go hand in hand. Siamese twins, they go together like milk and cookies or bread and water or meat and potatoes. You don't have one without the other. And I kind of had that on my mind a little bit for this week. And I want to speak on the subject of in His presence. And I might do a few lessons on that subject tonight, in His presence, or this next coming weeks. Of course, we got missions conference coming up, so we'll be doing some on that. But in His presence tonight at the throne of grace. I want to talk about in His presence at the throne of grace. Dear Father, bless us tonight. Speak to our hearts, please. You blessed me getting prepared for this. And I pray that you'll just transfer that blessing to the folks tonight. They paid a price to get here in this weather. And I pray, God, that you'll get them all home safely. Get us all home safely. For the next few minutes while we're here, may you bless us, please. Give us a hungry heart, a wanting heart, a listening heart. And God, fill us with the good bread from your oven tonight. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. One of the great privileges of the Christian life is the privilege of prayer. Coming into the presence of the Almighty God is not something that... especially we as humans, should take for granted. You know, the Bible seems to indicate that the angelic world comes into His presence for accountability's sake. That's why they come into His presence. You get that in the book of Job and other places where the angelic realm comes before God. They are accountable to Him for what they are doing, for where they have been. Now, you don't find any angelic being coming before God's throne with a request. You don't find an angelic being bringing any burden to the Lord. You find the angel realm coming into His presence for the purpose of where have you been and what are you doing? Accountability. All right? So even the angelic, the evil angelic world is accountable to Him for what they are doing, where they've been. So as much as I can see here, the Bible, we as God's children are the only people, are the only creation that have the opportunity to come into His presence with our burdens, with our needs, with our requests, and get help when we need it. I don't see that for the angelic world. I see that though, and I know you do, for those of us people, the people of God. Now, what an invitation, friend, to come into the throne of grace. And shame on us if we do not take advantage of this opportunity. Shame on us. I want to make you three quick statements tonight about this matter, and then we'll wrap it up. Number one, we can be thankful that it is not a throne of justice. Not a throne of justice. The Bible says come into the throne of grace. Now, you think about that for a minute. What a difficult place this world would be for us if all we had for help was a throne of justice. That's all we had. Was a throne of justice. Let me ask you a question. How well do you think we would fare if we had to begin every morning by approaching the throne of justice? If we had to go before the throne of justice. You know, justice by definition, according to Webster, is the virtue which consists in giving to everyone what is his due. Let me ask you a question. What is our due? I don't think any of us can claim any merit of any goodness, you know, that God owes us because of how much good we've done or what kind of merit we've piled up. If we went before the throne of justice, and bear in mind, God is a God of justice. Much as He's a God of love, He is a God of justice. And there are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that indicate that God will give to some people their due. Numbers 14:18 says this, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression." And listen to this, "by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." Psalm chapter 89, verse 14, "Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne." Justice is the habitation of thy throne. How about Revelation 20:14? "Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Some people will receive their due. And if all we had was a throne of justice, friend, it would be a bad, bad situation. God is the judge of all the earth. He will mete out justice from His throne. If justice is the virtue of giving everyone his due, who in the world would even want to approach the throne of God? I don't think I would want to. How excited are you when you wake up? How excited are you when you have to appear in traffic court and over a ticket you've received, and you know you're guilty of the ticket? How excited are you? Well, you're not very excited. In fact, you don't look forward to it. You wake up on the morning of the scheduled appearance. You don't click your heels with anticipation. There is no excitement there. Rather, there is a feeling of dread and gloom. I got a traffic citation. I was guilty of driving 70 in a 55. And I've got to go to court today. And I know that I'm guilty. And I'm going to receive justice. And there's no anticipation that. There's only dread and fear. And I can submit to you that if all we had to go to was a throne of justice, we would begin every morning with dread and fear. If it was a throne of justice. We can be thankful it's not a throne of justice. Now, number two, we can be thankful that it is a throne of grace. And that's what the writer of Hebrews called it. And I love that expression. What a beautiful expression. Throne of grace. What an even more beautiful reality. Now let's think about this together a little bit tonight. Throne of grace. That's the terminology here. In His presence at the throne of grace. Who sits on the throne? A king, right? Or maybe another word would be a sovereign. A sovereign sits on the throne. A sovereign is one who is supreme in power. Superior to all others, and one who possesses supreme dominion. That's a sovereign. He possesses supreme dominion. Now, what is dominion? Well, dominion is power to direct, power to control, power to use and dispose of at pleasure. Dominion is right of possession and right of use without being accountable. Now let that sink in for just a minute. So we are invited to come into His presence at the throne of grace. The sovereign God is sitting on the throne of grace at His disposal. All power to direct, to conduct, to give out grace with no accountability. None to anybody. And the particular throne is a throne of grace, which means the one who sits on it possesses supreme dominion in the area of grace. Now, do you understand what that means? That means God has supreme authority to direct grace. He has supreme authority to control grace. He has supreme authority to use and dispose of grace at His pleasure without accountability. He's answerable to no one. Nobody's looking over His shoulder. No one is His advisor. No one is His supervisor. No one is His superior. And no one calls Him on the carpet for sharing too much grace. Because He's sovereign, He can dispose of it at His pleasure with no accountability. None. That's dominion. That's the throne you and I are invited to. We have an invitation to the throne of grace. Friend, if it were a throne of justice, we would be overwhelmed with despair and dread. How horrible to start the day commanded to pray, commanded to talk to the Lord every day for a little bit, and have to come into a throne of justice. That would be a horrible, horrible, dreadful situation. But thank God it's not a throne of justice. It is a throne of grace, and the one who sits on that throne is sovereign, and he can do with grace what he wants because he's supreme. He's sovereign. So come on, Christian. Come on, Christian. Come to this throne. It's not a throne of justice to give you what you deserve. It's a throne of grace to give you what you need. Oh, man. And that's exactly what he said here in verse number 16. Find grace to help in time of need. So thank God it is not a throne of justice. Thank God it is a throne of grace. And he is on it by day and by night. He is on it from year to year, from generation to generation. The unchanging God sits on that throne, and the invitation goes forth every day to every child of God. Come to the throne of grace. Come into the presence of the one who sits sovereign and does what he wants to do with grace. Come every day. Do you need any grace? You need grace today? I need your grace today. You need any grace tomorrow? You need grace Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I can't think of a day that you and I wouldn't need grace. Help. Mercy in time of need. And thank God we're not commanded to come into the throne, into His presence, at the throne of justice. There will be many who will stand at the throne of justice someday and receive their due. But since we've been saved, we've been invited to the throne of grace. Now, the third question is this. What gives us the right to come to this throne? How can I, how can you come into His presence at this throne of grace? I mean, okay, I know we're saved, but aren't we still sinners? Yeah, we are. The throne is a throne of grace and not justice for you and me. But what makes it so? What makes it a throne of grace to me? What makes it a throne of grace for you? Who can claim a life so sinless so as not to deserve justice even at the throne of grace? I don't think anybody here would make that claim. Nobody in this room would say, you know what? I've had a really good day and I think I can go into God's presence and get what I deserve. You'd have to have a mighty good day, folks. You'd have to not be cut off by any driver. You'd have to never have you had to have your husband meet every need you ever had, your wife meet every need you ever had, and your children be little angels all day long. But we know there are only so many angelic children in this church. We know that. With horns holding up their halos. So, okay. It's not a throne of justice. It's a throne of grace. But here I am. Man. I'm saved. Yes, praise God. I'm born again on my way to heaven. I know where I'm going. But how can I approach in His presence at this throne of grace? Because I know me. And you know you. The reality is, friend, we can come to the throne of grace in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you this, Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back a few pages to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll show you this, give you a little illustration, we'll be done tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Some beautiful verses in this chapter that show us how we are able to come to the throne of grace. We don't have to come to a throne of justice. Thank God for that. We can come to a throne of grace. We don't get what we deserve at the throne of grace. We get what we need at the throne of grace. That's what's so good about that. Look at verse number 3, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." Now I want you to look at verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now notice that, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." That word predestination shows up 2 or 3 times in the New Testament. Shows up in Romans chapter 8, preached on it here a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. One of the realities about our predestination is we are predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. One of these days, we are going to have a body just like Jesus Christ. We're going to be like Christ. Like Him. That'd be a wonderful thing. That's what we're predestined. But we're also predestinated, the Bible says, to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Now, I've taught on adoption before, but for sake of some maybe that didn't hear it, or for sake of many like me who forget, let me give you just a little review. Adoption was a ceremony, and it still is a ceremony, that takes place in Jewish families, those who practice Judaism. When a Jewish family births a child, that child is cared for and loved like any other child. But until they come of age, they are really not treated any better than a servant's son or a servant. In fact, they're treated like a servant. They don't enjoy the full rights and privileges of the family. But when they come of age, for boys it's age 13, for girls it's age 12. They call that a bar mitzvah. For boys, a bat mitzvah for girls. And some of these folks that have lots of money, they spend as much as $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 on these bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. They're unbelievable affairs. These Jewish children reach age 12 and 13. They have their coming out, if you will. They have their coming of age. And when they come of age, they are officially adopted. They are adopted into the family. When they come of age, they are adopted as children into the full rights and privileges of the family. It's nothing legal with the government. It's just part of their religion, Judaism. The child really has no more rights and privileges. For reference sake, this is what the prodigal son intended to do when he decided to go back to the father's house. He said, "How many servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare? I'm going to go back. I don't need to be his son again. I'll just be one of his servants. And I'll say, 'Father, just take me back as one of your hired servants. Don't treat me as a child. Don't treat me as an adopted boy. Treat me as a servant.'" That's your point of reference. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when they came of age, they were given full rights and privileges in the Jewish family. Today, that means more along the lines of what they can do and can't do with Judaism than other things. But it's still practiced in Jewish families today. It's a coming of age. It's called adoption. Now, every child of God has been predestined to the adoption of children. That means you're going to come of age. And when you come of age, you're going to have full rights and privileges in the family of God. You say, "Oh boy, when is that going to happen?" It happened the moment you got saved. For Jewish kids, they have to wait till they're age 12 or 13. For people who get saved, for people who get born into God's family, there is no waiting process to be adopted. We are predestined to the adoption of children as soon as we get saved. We are adopted into God's family with all the full rights and privileges pertaining thereto. You don't have to have somebody pray for you. You don't have to have somebody read the Bible for you. You can pray to God. You can read the Bible. You can serve the Lord. You can talk to Him. You can walk with Him like somebody who's been saved for 40 years. You can do that the first day you're saved. That's called adoption. We're predestined to the adoption of children. But now, wait a minute. Not only are we predestined to the adoption of children, he said in verse number 5. Look at what he said in verse number 6. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Do you see that? Accepted in the Beloved. Who do you think that Beloved's talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying here is that every child of God has been predestined to the adoption of children. We've been given full rights and privileges in the family of God. We've been fully accepted as sons and daughters in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. And this is what makes the throne a throne of grace and not a throne of justice for us. We are accepted in Jesus. I'm not good enough to go into His presence at the throne of grace. I don't care how clean I try to live.
I've got filth inside of me like you've got filth inside of you. What makes us able to go into His presence at the throne of grace and get help instead of justice? The fact that we are accepted in Christ puts us into His presence with full rights and privileges. Full rights and privileges. Without that, we have not. But because of Christ, we have full rights and privileges. Because of Jesus, we can come with expectation to the throne of grace to obtain help in time of need. Dr. Harry Ironside, ever heard of him? He wrote many books. He pastored Moody Church a long time ago, back when it was a fundamental church up here in Chicago. And Dr. Harry Ironside, back in the late 30s, early 40s, he preached a series of meetings out in a small town called Roosevelt, Washington, right on the north bank of the Columbia River. He stayed as in the home of people in the church who were sheep raisers. If you know anything about that part of Washington, boy, it's the high desert country and a lot of agriculture out there in Washington State. My wife and I were out there one time before. When he was out there, it was lambing time in the sheep farm. And I mean, this was thousands of sheep and they would go out every morning, hundreds of little lambs being born to the ewes. Hundreds of them. And they would go out every morning and watch those little lambs just run and play on the green grass. And he really enjoyed it. It was relaxing, fun. He enjoyed it. He said one morning he went out and he saw an old ewe crossing a small dusty road trail there in the pasture. And he said following that ewe sheep was the most hideous looking creature he'd ever seen. He said it looked like it was a lamb that had six legs. And it looked like the skin was flapping on it. And he thought, you know, that lamb's been attacked. Something wrong with it. Or that's a mutation of some kind. He spoke to the sheep farmer about it. And the sheep farmer went out and caught that little lamb and brought him to Dr. Ironside and showed him what it was. The ewe that lamb was following was not that lamb's mother. That ewe's little lamb had been bitten by a rattlesnake and had died. The little lamb's mother had died in birth. That still happens today. So here you got a mother whose lamb was killed by a snake bite, and here you got a little lamb whose mother died giving birth to it. And that little lamb went to that ewe. She was fresh and ready to give milk. But when that little lamb approached that ewe, she didn't recognize the odor. She pushed him away. She wouldn't milk him. The little lamb kept trying to get milk, and she kept pushing him away. Kept trying to get milk, and she kept pushing him away. And the farmer, the sheep raiser, was brilliant. He took that ewe's dead lamb, skinned it. Took that motherless lamb and wrapped that dead lamb's skin, hide, around that little ewe. I mean, wrapped it around tight. And that's why it looked like it had six legs. Once that little lamb was wrapped in that dead lamb's skin, he approached that mother and she took him and gave him milk. That little lamb was accepted in her lamb. You get that? You know how we go to the throne and get grace instead of justice? Because we are robed in the righteousness of the Lamb of God who gave Himself for you and me. You go to God without that covering, you know what God's going to do? But when you come into His presence, enrobed in Jesus, you're accepted. Not because of us, but because of Him. What a privilege. It's not a throne of justice. It is a throne of grace. And the reason I can go to it is because 32 years ago, I got robed in His righteousness. And when I pray tomorrow morning, I'll be accepted. Not because I'm Terry Angel, but I'll be accepted because I'm in Him. Yeah, I want to run around this afternoon, shout, kick the furniture. It makes me so thrilled I can't hardly stand it. I know some of you are asleep. I don't know how you sleep through something like that. But anyway, that's all right. And just, okay, what's next? What time is it? It's time to pray. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, bless us. Thank you so much for the throne of grace. Thank you so much for accepting us in the Beloved. Thank you for Jesus who gave Himself for us. God, thank you. We don't have to go to a throne of justice. We can go to a throne of grace and get what we need. I don't know if anybody else needs anything, but Lord, I sure do. And I'm so thankful I can get it from you because of Him. Help us to take advantage of it. Use it. The throne of grace in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation quickly here.